I want you to put your hands together.
Here goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
Here goes to the neighborhood.
All right, we are recording, and welcome back to the Smokescreen Podcast, episode 13.
I'm digging it.
And this was highly requested. I mean, and by highly requested, I mean there was like three comments in the YouTube section anyway, because this is available, by the way, on YouTube, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, and Podbeans. Anyway, yeah, we were talking about this. We're going to talk about cults, and more specifically the cult mentality, I think, and kind of get into the psychology, if we can, of how this happens to people.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun.
But it kind of goes off last week. We talked about Elizabeth Holmes and the whole thing with her. So check that out if you hadn't seen it. It's a documentary that came on, and we got into it. And it followed the same kind of thing about these the idea of Silicon Valley being a cult mentality. And I saw a lot of follow-up videos after looking up that stuff about that, too. And we had mentioned cults anyway, and we'd watched Holy Hell.
Yes.
About 2 months ago or so.
And when
like
we
that,
watched it, we said,
we got to talk about cults.
Yeah, we definitely got to talk about cults.
Yeah, and we certainly mentioned, you know, some religious cults in other podcasts as well. But anyway.
And we did not plan it this way, but I think it's perfect that this is episode 13.
Yes.
And we're talking about cults.
The lucky or unlucky number, however you look at it, lucky number 13. Anyway, so yeah, I'll let James lead this one here. He's got a lot of more info on cults. He's watched a lot more than me. I've seen a lot of documentaries in the past, but again, the most recent, Holy Hell, which was just it's just insane to me. But I'll just start by saying this. It's like you look at some of these things and you're thinking, how can – you know, some of these people, they're obviously intelligent people, you know, in high-end careers, and, you know, they're intelligent, they're smart. How do they fall into some of this bullshit believing, for example, that, you know, a comet's going to come by and pick you up, but first you got to kill yourself?
Yeah.
You know, and how do you go from normal, average Joe with a job and family to living this cult life following some godlike figure here? You know, it's just insane to me on the surface.
And specifically that documentary... That filmmaker, he was part of that cult for 22 years.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. The Holy Hell, when he was like the, you know,
like, come on,
cinematographer or whatever for the cult. Of course, they didn't call themselves a cult. His specific thing was just bringing them closer to God or experiencing God in some way, but he didn't claim to be God. That was a little bit different for the usual, you know, that you hear about all the time.
Well, hopefully, I want to kind of take you down a little path here. I'll just start out by saying this. I've always, like you, just watched a lot of documentaries and things on cults. And I remember my mom talking to me about the Manson family when I was a kid, and Jonestown specifically. And, you know, Jonestown is just, everybody talks about drinking the Kool-Aid anytime people get on board with something. A certain person gets real popular. Everybody says they're drinking their Kool-Aid. Well, that's where that came from.
Right, right.
You know, and then you find out later it wasn't really Kool-Aid. They used a cheap flavor aid, but still.
It wasn't even real Kool-Aid.
No, but that.
They bought the off-brand.
But that saying stands, you know.
Right, yeah,
so
exactly.
So that's how it's in our psyche, is from Jonestown, and over 900 people drank cyanide Kool-Aid or flavor aid.
Yeah, right.
And killed themselves and their kids. So what I want to do,
that's insane. When you said that, drinking the Kool-Aid, I was thinking Tom Cruise.
Right.
Everybody's drinking Tom Cruise's bullshit. He could end this literally tomorrow.
Yeah.
He could end Scientology.
And the when you think of Tom Cruise and Scientology, and I'm sure we'll wrap back around to Scientology at some point, but I look at him, and you remember how he jumped up on the couch, and he got a little crazy on Oprah or whatever.
Yes.
And then you have, you know, John Travolta, who's also in there, and there's something a little odd about him. I mean, he's not as out and crazy, but he's peculiar. He's very peculiar guy. So it's something about people's mentality, and I guess I would like to kind of start this by saying, I believe, and you tell me what you think, that a cult, and I'm going to read the definition, but I have a premise in my mind that I think a cult is a commune where one person kind of gets a little too much power.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely fits that in general. The commune is definitely a part of a cult.
So
the commune mentality.
Let me read you these two definitions, and you see how similar they are.
All right.
A cult. These are both from Wikipedia, so there you can get your definition from anywhere else, but it basically covers the bases. A cult is a social group defined by its unusual religious, spiritual, or philosophical beliefs, or its common interest in a particular personality, object, or goal. They arise spontaneously around novel beliefs and practices.
Right.
All right. All right. Commune.
Sounds like today's modern politics.
Yeah, agree. Large gathering of people sharing a common life. People living together, sharing common interests, often having common values and beliefs, as well as shared property, possessions, resources, and in some communes, work, income, or assets.
Right.
That's what we saw in Holy Hell.
Yes, very much.
Like, this guy didn't have to hit a lick. Meanwhile, all these members of his cult were working jobs and pooling all their resources and money.
Right, and serving him.
And serving
him. He was the... And like I said, he was interesting because he didn't claim to be God. He just claimed to be some intermediary or something where you could experience it.
Yeah.
Through, and it was really LSD trips, let's face it.
His touch and everything was so powerful. You just touch your ear and all of a sudden, you know, you're just falling out and stuff.
Right.
And so, like, on the surface, that seemed like a commune, right?
Yes.
But it's definitely cultish when you throw this guy, this one... you know, huge, the leader, the de facto leader arises and kind of controls all those resources and everything. And then it loses the community aspect of a commune.
Right, yeah. That's why they never work. So it's always somebody wanting more, you know.
And so, yeah, when I think of cults, you know, I wrote down a few, you know, like I said earlier, the Manson family.
Yes.
You know, seven people died.
Infamous,
right?
Yeah.
Over two nights. Seven people died. Charles Manson, he had them, you know, convinced that there was going to be a race war, and he was just going to start it off, basically.
Right, and so, he's probably still has followers out there.
Yeah.
I mean, no doubt.
There's no doubt. And I actually just watched the Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and it's loosely, you know, based on real history, but it centers around that whole Manson family. That was pretty cool. I wrote down Jonestown again. The Branch Davidians, you know, in Waco.
Yeah, I definitely remember that.
51-day standoff.
That was, I remember that in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And they went down and the FBI just killed them all.
It was crazy. Burnt the place down.
Yeah.
And then, so you don't know which side to believe. I mean, the FBI says they lit the place on fire, and they have audio recordings of those people saying, light it on fire inside.
Right, right, right.
But then you see some footage where it looks like maybe they were shooting stuff in there with one of those tanks. I don't know.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder. Heaven's Gate. The 39 people dressed in sweatsuits.
Let's catch the next comet. It's a spaceship.
Yeah, they.
I mean,
took drugs and then put plastic bags over their head and killed themselves.
That's insane. I think that's a common thread we'll find too when we talk about these cults is drugs.
Yes,
LSD and those type of, you know, acid trips and all this kind of shit. I think that's really a big part of some of these more, especially the religious ones, you know, I believe.
Yeah, which I think is what, like, Jonestown started out was, like, I believe, again, I'm no expert, but he was more like a preacher, you know, he did, what, the People's Temple or whatever, and then I think he started catching too much heat here, so he moved them down to, like, Central America somewhere, I think, or South America, and built a town and named it Jonestown, Jones. And so, like, they were down there, and they all seemed happy. Now, again, it seemed very like a commune. You know, everybody pooling the resources, working together, building this town from the ground up. And but then the government, they sent a congressman down there to check on things. I think they had a lot of family members complaining, writing their congressman saying, hey, I think these people are brainwashing my family members.
I was going to say, that's where these start to break down is when family members start complaining.
Yeah.
They start talking.
And so they actually, Jim Jones, and I think this is, you'll find this with most cult leaders, heightened paranoia.
Yes.
So I think
because they move often. Yeah. They move often. They know that they know the so-called negative connotation with the word cult, and when people like you were saying, the family members start saying that, they hear that word, then it's time to move.
Right.
It's always time to move.
And so the congressman goes to Jonestown is very similar, you know, to based on those complaints of family members. There's also complaints like with the Branch Davidians, you hear stuff, you either hear weapons or child molestation. How would you say that? I guess because that's another common theme, I believe, is these leaders think they can have sex with anybody in their cult, whether it's man, woman, child, they don't care.
Exactly. That was going to say, that was the next theme that runs through them is going on with the drugs and stuff is, like we watched Holy Hell, the first thing they ever, because we were both assuming that. And then the guy actually said it was never, he didn't have sex with people and all this stuff, but of course, he did.
He did every one of them.
Every one of them.
Yeah,
it's always something. But
he would tell them not to have sex.
He would tell them not to. That it doesn't matter. That's not what we're here for. Blah blah blah. But he kept all them from doing, even though everybody was, they still did. I mean, they said it.
Yeah, they did.
Everybody was screwing each other.
They were sneaking into it, feeling real guilty about it.
Yeah, feeling guilty about it. But yeah, so that was a big thing. That's always a big thing. And of course, it ended up being that he was taking advantage of his personal servants that he had.
He was like sodomizing them and stuff, and you see these grown men breaking down now. And
yeah,
at the time they were young, very young men, at the height, you know, their peak of their own, you know, coming of age sexually. They want they want to, you know, explore their sexual, you know, I don't know, energy, whatever you call it, these cravings, urges, with these beautiful women around him. He said, no, don't do that. And then behind the doors, you know, closed doors, he's sodomizing these guys.
Exactly.
Ruining them.
And they actually held that information for a long time in that particular documentary.
Yeah.
It was more, so we were sitting there saying, okay, there's something, he's getting something out
the
of it.
The whole time we were feeling that.
Exactly. And they finally came out and dumped all that at you at the near the end, near to the end of the documentary.
And then so you see those, you know, young ladies, they're grown now too, and they're pissed off. They had no idea that their brothers were getting treated that
way.
Right,
yeah, there was a lot of family members in this together. They had no idea. They were just lucky to be the personal servants. They were lucky to be the slaves, is the way he had it set up.
And this you know, sparked all this for us guys, so understand why we keep coming back to this.
Yeah, it was just the most recent. I mean, there's been there's a shit ton of them,
and
there's
lots of documentaries. It's because it's 2016, you know,
right?
So it's pretty recent,
fairly recent. Yeah,
and so you get to see. I mean, the guy's really good. The guy who put it together, he edits it well. He lays out everything well, and puts good music in there too, I remember, but in this particular one. This leader, he was an egomaniac.
Yes.
He was so concerned about how his body looked.
He had people would bathe him and trim him and wax him and all this other shit. He just stood there or laid there. He never did anything.
Nothing.
And it's that's always just blown my mind. How does, like you said, some of these young men, women, whatever, end up looking at him saying, oh my God, he's the best thing since whatever, sliced bread. I don't want to use the same old term. But what makes somebody go from, like you said, these are young, intelligent people, a lot of cases, and they end up damn essentially serving somebody.
Right.
It's indentured servitude is what it is, if not slavery in some way, whether mental or physical.
Yeah, whoever is the leader of these cults, they've got it made while it lasts.
Yes,
I mean,
always.
They really do, and have so much power over these people that it breaks up families. And the Heaven's Gate one, I mean, they were literally telling people that, you know, these are normal, I guess, people who kind of came up with Christian values and stuff. All of a sudden, this guy convinces them that, you know, God's an alien and right. they're going to come land UFOs on a certain date and all this stuff. There's going to be like 9 UFOs land. I can't remember.
Yeah, I heard the I'm the only one that can get the prophecy.
Yeah.
I'm the only one that can communicate with God type thing.
And so these people are really savvy, and I don't know how they can convince normal, like you said in the very beginning, these are normal, everyday, smart, most of the time, pretty smart people, hardworking, have accumulated a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
And I guess everybody goes on these spiritual journeys throughout their life. What is it about these, you know, that seem wackos, like wackos to us? And I don't want to sound insulting at all, but
right.
you can look at somebody and go, that person's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, you can. I mean, you can in a lot of cases. I think at the core, it's always something that they claim to be offering that the other people simply can't do. At some level, that is the core of it, is they are offering something that you can get nowhere else in the world. You can't Google it. You can't look it up. Nobody else has this power.
Yeah.
They are the ultimate authority on this, whatever it is, whatever it's centered around, usually religion.
Yes.
Or some kind of, you know, God thing. So it's at its core, I think that's what it is. And I would imagine if he started off the first day with, say, the first two people hanging out and started saying that, they would probably leave. So it has to start as more of a commune. Just the idea of, hey, you know, we're just putting together a group and we're going to pool our resources and buy this piece of property. We'll live together. You know, I'm sure after a little bit of getting to know each other, just hanging out in regular circumstances, I'm assuming.
That's what I think so too.
And then it kind of evolves into, okay, we're all really good friends and we hang out, we believe the same things. You know, let's move in together. You know, let's be roommates and pool our resources and just kind of do the commune thing. I mean, that way we all equally share and everything and blah, blah, blah. And we enjoy each other's company. And then it kind of starts growing from that standpoint. And then it starts to trickle in like the whatever it is that they want from the leader, or the leader seems to be offering.
Right.
So maybe that's the way it starts, where it's like, so because I'm sure that people that, like, for example, if there's already an established cult, and of course they're not calling themselves a cult, but a new recruit comes in, they have to be thinking, what the hell is going on here? For a while, at least.
It has to be.
And so when you didn't, then you just see, oh, well, it's just everybody with similar values hanging out together, and they all have jobs and they're pooling their money, and look at this place, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it gets nicer every day.
It gets every day, everybody's working on it. This seems really cool, you know, I can live here and be happy hanging out with these people I enjoy being around and blah, blah, blah. So I think that gets you in the door, and then as you're trusted and the longer you're there, you get let, because there's levels. There's always levels.
Yeah.
So it starts out, you're just a nobody. You're just there for the commune. And again, this is all theory. This is all going off theory.
It's what I wanted this to be.
Yeah. And so then, you know, well, you know, if you stay here this long, you do this, then you get, you know, he'll tell you a few things about, you know, the secrets of God or whatever it is he's offering. And then it starts from there and gets crazier and crazier the more levels you get.
Yeah.
So you level up. It's almost like a fucking game, like a video game.
And that is similar, actually, to a church. You walk in as a stranger one day.
Yep.
But after so many years, you know, you're handing out, you're passing the offering plate. Then all of a sudden you become a deacon and all, you know.
Right.
And you do level up in all social groups.
And then you get your family involved, to a degree, if you can. You want to make sure they... Because from your standpoint, from somebody who's in it, and, you know, before all the shit goes down or whatever, you're enjoying it, you think it's a great thing, sure, you tell family and friends, hey, you should come check out this group.
Definitely.
So I think, you know, that's how it starts, essentially.
And we've actually had conversations, and I'm sure most of the people listening at some point have probably thought about this, like, you know, be cool if a group of friends or family got a piece of land, put up little houses on it.
Oh, yeah,
you know, have a central meeting place, shelter where we can cook out and hang out and, you know.
Or a modern-day game room and we'll have a living garden space
over here. We'll plant some fruit trees, apple trees and stuff over here, have an orchard. And it sounds awesome, you know.
Yep. As a matter of fact, speaking of that, there was a show not too long ago where they did this social experiment. And I love those kind of reality shows, actually. It was almost like there was a couple, there was one on years ago that was based off people living in after the, you know, I guess Armageddon. And they brought in people from with different trades and stuff and put them together. And it was a realistic environment where they had, you know, like actual bad guys that would come kidnap you and shit.
Yeah, I remember that show. And that's
It was great. It lasted for two seasons. The problem is on season three, they were filming somebody got killed, so it hadn't come back on. But there was a similar show where they put together a commune like that last couple years, and it didn't even make it to the end of the season.
Before the people started?
Before the show just went off.
Oh, hell.
They didn't even finish the show because it was like every week somebody was elected the new leader, so to speak, and they would institute their form of government, so to speak, in this little community.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so somebody would try democracy, and somebody would try socialism, and somebody would try this and that.
Yes.
And ended up being the problem with this commune idea is that there's always somebody who wants more. Yeah, but just off natural, just because that's just our, it's in our nature.
It really is. I know what you're saying.
So the idea always sounds great on paper, yeah. You know, all equally share, but that never works that way because there's somebody that wants more and there's somebody or saying, well, this guy's not over here.
He's not contributing
yes. as much. Exactly.
So why should he get as many vegetables out of the garden as I did?
Right, exactly.
I'm the one that planted them. I went out there and weeded it. And
he don't have the expertise. He just goes and grabs them out of the basket. I'm the one that puts in the time, you know, or whatever. So there's always that, and people don't account for it, and which is why this kind of thing never, ever works in the history of mankind. Anyway.
Is there a part of it, like, you know, at any point, and I'm talking about America right now, because that's, you know, where I'm from and what I'm experienced with. And I've, you know, been in the room as my elders were talking when I was growing up and stuff.
Right.
You can look at any time in America and they think it's the worst time.
Yes.
In the world.
Every time.
And so is there a part of it that do you think people are going, the world's gone crazy? We kind of need to pool our resources, isolate ourselves, get ready. You know what I mean? I'm not saying you're like thinking get ready for a war like the Manson family, but
right.
But you do feel safer in packs and with people you trust.
And it's a natural thing to be in packs, so to speak. I mean, it's just that's natural. Strength in numbers type of thing. And I think that's absolutely right. I think you're dead on to another core component of what attracts people to these type of things.
They feel safe.
You do feel safer as far as not just safe from like actual physical threats. I'm saying safe in the sense of your mental health.
Yeah.
You think you're going in with like-minded people.
Right.
And they can support you emotionally and you can do the same for them. And it all sounds hunky-dory. And then at some point, though, it always shit hits the fan at some point.
Yep.
Because somebody, like you said, whether it's somebody being molested or the leader actually, you know, you find out what he's really up to or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But at the core, I think it's probably, you know, a good thing from their perspective.
Right.
At its core, you know, just a group of people similar.
Let's say if we did that, and I mean, I remember a few years ago, you and your cousins were actually talking about buying a common piece of land.
Yeah.
And you kind of, there is an attraction kind of to coming off the grid, so to speak, and let's unplug, let's get back to, you know, the realness in the human experience, and
there's definitely something good about that for sure,
right? And then
which actually speaking of that was almost like the prepper movement that got so big, and you saw it on TV, so many
that's
shows
true. I didn't even think about
survival
that.
And that's prepping right. And all that stuff is prepping. Almost a similar thing, except they're all, for the most part, individualists.
Yeah.
They wasn't going into groups. They don't do it in groups.
But a lot of them would have friends who they would have like a meetup place if the shit did hit the fan.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And they would pool the resources to make that meetup place kind of cool.
Sure.
Or the vehicles that they were going to ride.
Right, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Away from civilization.
Yeah,
so.
Preppers have a similar mentality. It is.
Right.
There is. And I think there are, excuse me. So let's say you do, you buy the land, you bring in some people. What happens? Is there to avoid an incestuous kind of deal? You have to bring new people in at some point?
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't think about it from that angle, but yeah, I would imagine. Yeah,
I mean, because you're almost in like a Noah's Ark scenario if you seal the door and don't let anybody in.
Right, right.
You're kind of hosed there.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, in the situation we're talking about, like, because you said, you mentioned me and some family members of mine, we had just, it was a fleeting idea, and we had actually looked at a piece of land. It was like 18 acres. You know, you all pitch in on that, and you can all build houses where you want, you know, in this particular county. You don't have to be close to each other, so you still have your own individual space. But let's do a common garden, and let's have like a, you know, at some point down the road, we'll, instead of, you know, because all you do.
I've heard my uncles have the same talk, so I've always thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. I mean, you put up solar panels down the road when you can. You have a one central building where it's like the game room or the hangout room or the TV room where you can all get together and watch movies and play pool, whatever. It sounds great, but at some point it sounds easy to split that up and, okay, you do this and you do this, but at some point something's going to break down. Somebody's going to feel like they're not pulling, somebody else is not pulling their load.
Right.
They're pulling their weight, I mean, and that type of thing. And there's always going to be some kind of issue. You know, we're out here in the garden more than you, or whatever it may be. It's always going to be something. But yeah, in that case, it would just be, you know, a couple houses sharing land and whatever, but you still have your own individual lives.
Yeah, you
know,
you're going
to work,
do whatever.
You know, you got a girlfriend or boyfriend outside, you know, so that's a different
thing. That's not so like Jonestown-y where we're here.
That's right.
You know?
And nobody else can be here or whatever. Yeah. But we got to recruit people.
Because when you do that, now if you guys do need any money to upkeep, you're going to have to like set up a fruit stand and sell to the public. And
right. Yeah.
And I think, or, you know, whatever it is, use your trade. If you're a mechanic, you know, offer it to the public or whatever. But you know how I said you could look at them and say, that guy's crazy. I think that's part of their spiel too, to their people, is saying people on the outside think we're crazy.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah,
we're
no
not.
No
you know,
doubt.
Don't let them, you know, cloud your mind with anything.
Exactly. I think that's a huge part of it. Once, because you're naturally going to have questions, especially when you actually get into actual cults, and you know this leader's claiming this outrageous stuff.
Yeah.
And these other people are swearing by it, so you're like, wait a minute, I trust this person. I like this person, and they're telling me this is all legit. But if I tell my sister or brother or mom and dad, they're going, are you fucking out of your mind? So you're getting pulled in two different directions.
Yeah.
So you almost talk yourself into believing it until you experience something that you believe was real, because it's the placebo effect thing.
Yes, man.
And I think that's a powerful thing, you know, as far as the believing in the leader and what he has to offer.
And there's a, I don't know, most leaders who in throughout history, whether it be a Hitler or, you know, Mussolini or whoever, you know, are charismatic and you know, maybe Mussolini might have been a bad example. I think he probably just more fear.
Right, yeah. Longer. Well, but, I mean, you know, that's in some cases, though, that's the thing. The Manson thing was fear of what was coming.
Right.
You know, so they can use that too, just as easy as love. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's just playing on emotional
and
stuff.
You said politicians, modern day politics, earlier.
Always fear-mongering.
Fear-mongering. And everybody in America, like I said, thinks this is the worst time in history.
Like right now, that's what their spiel is coming up for the next election. Right now is the worst time ever. We have the worst problems in history. It's never been worse. This election really is the one that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Every
choice you make this time is the most important choice.
It's the most important one. Not the one 4 years ago or 4 years from
when
now.
When it was the worst ever
It was the worst ever then, too, by the way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what they do. That's how they try to sell it, because they're playing on your emotions.
Yep.
That's
and
exactly
fears,
what it is.
And, yeah. And what – I don't know.
And the problem is with things like that, it's almost a mass delusion, because – it's not really happening in your neighborhood so much, necessarily, whatever they're saying's happening.
You're right.
But you watch CNN or something, and
everybody's right in your living room.
Apparently it is happening, but I don't see it, but they're telling me it is. So that's where they get you. You can't really not prove it.
Yep.
You just hear about it. And so that's where they get you with the political shit, too.
And a lot of times you find out that what somebody says, whether it be a politician or, you know, any leader, they, you find out they're full of crap.
Yep.
But there's something about them that you still like. You still go. You still, what, for whatever reason. As a matter of fact, in this documentary, he goes, they go with the cameras to find that leader, remember? The Michelle guy?
Oh, yeah, later.
And
right.
He still has followers.
And he still has a new group. Because the whole old group was gone, out, everything came out, and he's just moved different location and had a new group on the beach.
And he's so old now, but he's had so much plastic surgery and stuff.
Yeah, and they're still putting him in the car like he's got a
drying
chauffeur.
Him off.
Yeah, yeah. It's just drying him off on the beach. I mean, it was insane that he just finds another group, and he's got to be charismatic in some way. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But he can just start it right back up with no repercussions, apparently.
And so, to me, I like to think about, okay, what would have happened if there was no intervention with, let's say, you know, in Waco?
Yeah.
In Jonestown. You know, would there, how would that have turned out?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's hard to say. It depends on what they're promising or what they're saying's coming, because they're always prophetic, right? So with the, you know, was it Heaven's Gate shit, it's like the resolution was killing yourself. There was no end, you know, that was the end. You couldn't, you just thought you were going to kill yourself and your spirit was going to fly up to this fucking comet / spaceship.
Yeah.
And fly off. But these other things are more like, I think in the case of, like, I know we keep going back to this, you know, holy hell thing. But it's the most common type, I think, as far as...
I do, too.
It, but, you know, the leader has some kind of, you know, he's got...
The link to...
A direct line to God, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. Nobody else can do that, so... But with what he was doing to these dudes, and I think eventually somebody would kill him.
And that's where I'm going with this. The reason I brought it up is because whether it be somebody killing him, or old age, or accident, or disease... Right. They're going to die.
Yes.
Right? Then your direct link
is gone.
So I believe that somewhere in their master plan, when they're alone, the leader, when they're alone,
yeah.
It's going to always come down to tragedy and mass suicide or something. He's never going to say, I was bullshitting, y'all can go home. You remember the Forrest Gump scene?
I was bullshitting, y'all can go home.
When he stopped running and the people didn't know what to do,
he's like, Forrest Gump. I think I want to go home now.
Dude,
and they just stopped in the middle of the road.
They were lost.
They looked at each other like, "What do you mean?
Yeah.
This thing ends. And this is not supposed to end,
right? So, what are these people going to do if this guy dies of old age?
Yeah, it's either
what he promised you a long time ago is not coming true,
right? It's either that, you know, where, like you said, it kind of has to end in tragedy. So that's the plan from the get go, whether it's a natural death or whatever. And then he don't care. It's just going to disperse,
right?
Or you get somebody you trust enough to pass on your so-called abilities to keep it going.
That reminds me of Scientology.
Exactly.
Is that what you were thinking?
Yes, yeah, where I was.
Kind of, really?
So
that's exactly,
like,
as you were saying.
Yeah.
That.
So you can see that some people. So if you're one of those, I guess it depends on what your goal is. Do you want it to be a legacy thing?
True.
Then you would pass it on, I guess,
or
talk them into believing they got the power now. And then, you know, of course, they've been around long enough to be your trusted advisor, so they would believe it. Or you just, like you said, go out in a blaze of glory. It doesn't matter anyway.
Because
that's your only two options.
Yeah.
The
Scientology thing, you know, we watched Joe Rogan, and we've watched the documentary on Scientology. And what's her name?
Yeah.
Lisa Remini. Is that her name?
Leah.
Remini. Is that, am I saying?
I think it's Leah.
She was on King of Queens.
Yes.
Her. You know. And his dad, the leader of Scientology's dad, was on Joe Rogan. Both of them were on Joe Rogan. And they both say,
yes,
they will cut you off from your family. Tell you can't have any communication.
Yeah, that was the other thing, too.
That's very
another
cultish.
Common thing in cults was, and they was in that Holy Hell one as well as the rest of them, is that's one of the first things they'll tell you once you're in. You have to cut ties with your family and friends because it's they're pulling, they're keeping you in this, like, I don't know, on this plane.
Oh, yeah. If you ever want to,
if you ever want to graduate to the next level, you want to level up, right?
Right.
You want to get to level 63. You have to cut off ties with all these people because they're holding you back, and because they're the ones that are, they're the voices of reason, actually.
And that's what it really is.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're holding you back. So we have a, there's always a reasoning that you need to cut off your family, your actual, and that, and you know, they're still questioning things like at that point, like, wait a minute, what? I can't talk to my mom and dad anymore, my brothers and sisters, but it's for a higher purpose. So that outweighs anything on this plane.
Yeah.
That's the selling point, right? It's, and that's not about here. It's not about Earth. It's not about your life right now. It's what you're going to be.
Yeah.
And so you can't really argue. I mean, you can, but you know what I'm saying? From that perspective, you're like, yeah, well, that is more important, is the afterlife or whatever's next, whatever and, they're promising.
And what you were talking about leveling up.
Yeah.
If your cult.
I was just picturing.
If your cult slash religion or whatever goes long enough. And you've already had it mapped out where this is the top.
Yeah.
And all, you know, so many people reach that top level, you might have to rewrite.
You always
to keep them hungry.
You got to add more levels.
You have
you
to.
You always do. There's never an end.
I mean, because they're going to kind of be unfulfilled.
Exactly.
If there's so many of them, they're looking around going,
that's what Scientology did.
We're all this level.
How many do you go through all the levels or stages, whatever the fuck they call it? I'm not sure exactly. I don't remember. But they you know, people get to that next, you know, state, and they at some point they have to add more.
You have
because
to.
You have to add more because you got to keep them paying.
It's it's a never ending cycle.
It's a never ending.
It's either gonna blow up in flames.
Exactly.
Add levels and pass it on. That's
right.
That's almost the only two options. I would love to know if there is an example of, say, some hippie commune that was started back in the late 60s and early 70s or whatever,
right,
that is thriving. I would doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I would
I
doubt
think
it.
So. It's just, I'm saying, you know, we're by nature, we are all selfish. And that's not necessarily a negative thing. I'm not saying that in a negative term. I'm putting that in a negative light. Selfish in the sense of survival and all that stuff. All those you know, things that just that we are by nature is what eventually breaks up these type of things.
Yeah.
Period. So these things go against human nature.
Yeah, because if you really say you fall in love and dude, you are enamored with your partner and you want to spend so much time with them and hanging out with them.
Right.
The organization has to split that up somehow.
Exactly, because you can't. You're fulfilling a natural human need, like I said, in your nature.
Yeah,
and that takes away from the organization. Therefore, you're not pulling your weight or whatever the situation is, and they have to stop that. You can only love God or the leader or whatever they're offering.
Right.
You can't, because this love again, it's a different plane.
Different
it's a whole different
plane.
Level.
You're
like
right.
This doesn't matter. This material stuff on this world. Sexual, you know, relationships, that's all bullshit. The big picture is over here, you know, and this is how you get there, through the levels, you know.
Right.
You got to go around the board so many times. It's not like Monopoly. It's a linear thing. You can't come back around past go collect $200 and level up. You have to, it's got to be a linear thing and with more levels or more stages.
And
always added, infinite, you know, until it blows
if
up.
If the person is just really stuck, if say you know the person did fall in love with somebody and they're really stubborn about it and they're not listening to the leader, all of a sudden the leader will start making up things about them, so everybody will ostracize them. And
absolutely, and that's what's let's say, for example, use your example, you know, they're in a commune but people still have jobs where they're all pitching in, right? They're still going out to work, and at work they meet, you know, their girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. They fall in love and whatever, and they say, you know, hey, I live over here in this community of people. They're great, blah, blah, blah. But the partner is like, nah. I'm not into that. I want us to get a house together, apartment,
right,
whatever, and start a family and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, let me think about it.
Yeah.
And then they run it by people in the cult.
Yep.
And then that gets back to the leader, of course, because he's always got the spies, right? He's always got the people that he really trusts is telling
little
him.
Little birds.
What's, little birds. There you go. Varys. What's really going on.
And so they have to put a stop to that. So they have to start. So if he's put in that position, he or she, to make a choice, and he makes the wrong, and they make the wrong choice. All right, well, I'm going to go move in with my girlfriend or boyfriend, whatever.
Right.
Then that's when it's like, okay, we have to get him out of here because he's going to go out. If we don't, he's going to start. She or he is getting in his head.
Yes.
And they're going to start talking about us, so we have to make sure they're. We have to discredit them immediately. You know what I mean?
Here's
to cut
the scary
off
part.
To stop that from getting out as far as what we are.
Let's say that guy. I'm obviously picturing a guy going to work and falling in love with a girl. Your story. All right. Let's say he's an integral part. Like he makes a lot of money that he brings to the cult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I could see girl's brake lines getting cut by somebody.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of her in a cool way. You know what I mean? You know, in a way, it looks like an accident.
Yeah. Or you may, they, I mean, I,
because we have, need him. We need I, this money.
We need
this. Got.
We need him. So we got to get rid of her. So we need to make sure she thinks that he's sleeping with somebody else.
Oh, good call. Yeah. That's a lot easier than what I'm saying. Yeah. So, that makes me feel.
You're going straight to cutting brake lines.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. That makes me feel horrible.
No, that's.
Poisoning. Yeah.
Well, she's not eating.
You should be a cult leader. I'm horrible at this.
I'm going to start one. I need to. We're going to start a new channel on YouTube. We'll just call it The Cult. It's just misinformation. It's just, you know, it's campaigns to discredit this person. You know, oh, he don't really love you. You know, he's already got a girlfriend in here that lives with us whatever.
They could even send a good-looking dude to go flirt with her,
take
mess
pictures.
With her, and take pictures. Yep.
Yep, yep, exactly. And they would go to that level. They would go to that length in this actual cult where they're actually crazy.
Yes, I totally see that. You can't let that much money and slip away. Somebody that important to the process. Now, if they're just somebody you don't really care about, then you just slander them to the rest of the cult
right.
And say, "Hey guys, I knew he was a bad seed the whole time. It was just a test for you. That's why I let him stay here so long."
Exactly. There's always a reason for everything. It goes back to the we were talking about last week with Elizabeth Holmes and being a narcissist or a sociopath.
Yes.
It's the same stuff.
It really is.
You have to be, and don't get me wrong, to a degree, any kind of leader has to have a little bit of that, I guess you could say. Like, if you want to run for president, you got to be a little bit of a narcissist in some way.
I agree.
Don't matter what party you are. I don't care
totally
who you are.
I totally agree, bud.
Because if you believe that you're the person that can do all this great and good and whatever, then you got to have a little bit of that, which is fine.
It's we're talking necessary.
About, we're talking about sociopaths here.
Yeah.
And full-fledged disorders that they believe that they have this thing to offer. It's not real. Most of them know they're scam artists.
Yeah.
For the most
part. People start questioning her, and what did she do? All of a sudden, they're not coming to this meeting, guys.
Yeah, they're
he's an alcoholic.
Cut him off. Yeah. He's an alcoholic. I saw him drinking last night, I'm telling you.
Similar, And I'm sure that her story is replayed over and over again, maybe on a smaller scale, of course, in many different industries or companies or whatever. Think about like an Oprah, okay? Self-made billionaire.
Yep.
She didn't get there without being harsh to some people. There's just she
had
her bodyguards and people who watch her employees. Is this person doing that wrong?
She had a vision, and sometimes it takes being hard to get there.
Yeah,
no doubt.
You have to.
You don't get there by being the nicest person in the world.
But
and it's catering.
By
everybody.
Getting there, you kind of do get paranoid. You stop trusting people because you have this path for Harpo Productions.
Harpo.
And I don't want anybody to mess it up,
That's right. I mean, I get that to a degree. I understand that.
You got to keep people drinking your Kool-Aid.
That's right. You got to keep drinking it's not Kool-Aid. It's
Flavor-Aid.
It's Flavor-Aid. It's the damn off-brand.
That's right.
Kool-Aid, no sugar.
Let me switch gears real quick. I don't know how long we've been going. But,
we're good. We're about 45 minutes or so.
There is another documentary that I want you to watch if you have not. Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh, yeah. I just saw that. I looked yesterday for documentaries, and it was in my little, when I was searching for it, I saw that one.
Well, I don't want to spoil it.
And that was
it.
From like the 70s?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a new documentary, but it took
right,
place.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
And it's about a guy who has, you know, these personality traits we're talking about. He basically grooms an entire family. An entire family
right.
to let him molest the daughter.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. Just like we were talking about, you know, divide and conquer. Let me turn the wife and husband against each other.
Yes.
Make them think I'm the guy who can make things better. And the whole time, his ultimate goal was to get this young girl. And you've got to watch it. It's really
can we just shoot him in the face?
I'm telling you, dude. And the girl's grown now, and she's on there talking, but he went as far as to take her in an RV, drug her. She wakes up tied up in the RV with music, I mean, with a recording playing that tells her that there's aliens who run everything, and the world is going to die if she doesn't reproduce with that dude. Because their child is going to, you know, be the one, right? Now, this
right.
girl's young, right? She's hearing all this stuff, and she's tied up, and he's nowhere to be found. Well, when she gets loose or whatever, she sees him, and he's made it look like he's been knocked out too and everything. And she wakes him up and is like, oh, my God, we've got to make a baby together and all.
Oh,
like,
my God.
He went that far with his mind control. So it's a trip, dude. You've got to watch it.
Yeah, I literally just had to pull it up on my phone looking for good documentaries, and that was one that popped up. It was just too late last night when I found it. But, yeah, I'm going to check that out. But, oh, man, that stuff pisses me off, dude. That's the only time you'll ever hear me say, skip the whole Fifth Amendment right to a damn fair trial bullshit. Let's just kill him.
Me too. I know what you mean.
I mean, you know, yeah. your due process bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just, oh, God, man.
Yeah, it really ruins innocent little people, man, and I hate that.
Yes.
God, I hate that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, speaking of that, not to get off on that route, but one state just passed castration law for rapists and shit.
I think everybody would be on board with that. Yeah. That could get passed in other states, I believe.
Yeah, so that's finally starting to happen.
What I was going with that was, in the right circumstances, I think almost anybody can be brainwashed. I really do. I mean, once you get to a certain age and experience in life, you know, it would be hard. I believe it would be hard to brainwash me as set in my ways as I am right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Definitely.
Coming of age years.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely, you know, we're talking about the themes and kind of the threads that run through that are very similar in every case. It is. It's young people.
Young people.
Once you get older and you've...
Impressionable, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you get older and you experience some things. You've seen hard times. You know real from bullshit. You know, whatever. You can't recruit people like that. Now, Scientology is a little different, obviously, because it's a kind of a different thing. They did the smart thing, though, from the aspect of keeping it alive, is made it a religion.
Yeah.
So it's tax deductible. Everything's tax free and all that, you know. So that's the whole loophole they found and got their way into that bullshit to be an actual religion. But, I mean, you could do a whole entire podcast on Scientology.
When you do a religious aspect and your older people have been on hard times and been through a lot of bullshit and maybe have done things that they're not proud of. And you offer them some way, some forgiveness, and a way to recorrect old wrongs
right.
with your life.
Right.
Come over here and we will heal you and make you whole again and give you a fresh start. That could be appealing to older people. I can
right.
see that.
Yeah, because you got to wonder how is, you know, Tom Cruise and, like you said, John Travolta and so many other non-famous members that are older, and people older than them are still in this thing. And you know good and damn well that Tom Cruise don't actually believe that shit.
Yeah, there's some really stubborn pride there.
Yeah, exactly. And fear, I think. Fear of losing of the guy, I forgot his name now. You might remember his name. The new leader, since the other one died.
David Miscavige, I think.
There you go. Yeah. The fear of him, because you know they try to ruin you. And these are people in big careers.
They do try to ruin you.
They
That's
try to
right.
ruin your career. And they have people watching you and following you, trying to catch you in something so they can put it in the media. And so that's part of it, too, I think, is to stay in, I believe. So maybe at some point when Tom Cruise is kind of semi-retired, he can come. I don't know. Maybe he actually believes that shit. I just can't believe that some of these people that have to be pretty intelligent and to be in that field and stay in that field as long as they have.
There's got to be some fear.
And professionals, too. There's got to be some fear there.
Blackmail pictures, something that they've set up.
That they've got on.
As insurance policy.
Because I can't believe that every single one of those people actually believe all that bullshit.
I can't either. And also, who wants to give that much of their hard-earned money? You know, I mean, they demand and basically...
Yeah.
They probably go over his contracts when he's dealing with his agent probably, in Hollywood, I would say.
Because you have to pay to get better.
Yeah.
You have to pay to keep advancing, to keep leveling up. You have to pay. It's almost like a fucking pay-to-play game on your phone.
Right.
You start setting up your fucking castle.
Yep.
And you get get your walls up, and you get the rookery up and whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you want to level up the castle to 12, and it's like, because by the time you're 12, you might be able to compete a little bit.
Yeah.
But to do that...
It's going
to
take 4 months of just churning away, you could spend some money.
If it's going to take 4 or 5 months to get to level 12 and compete and have fun on the game, but if you spend $10.99 for our super package that includes all these gold and whatever, you can do it in 2 days.
Yep,
or less. So it's the same concept, and that's where probably they got these models from. You know, for these apps, is the same concepts that people play off of to get people in cults.
All right,
you know the concepts. I mean,
question. What we've just laid out, young, impressionable people.
Yep.
All right. Sense people play it on fear.
Sense of community.
Yeah. Are we primed for some new Wacos and stuff to be popping off now because people are so afraid? They think the world's, the country's the worst it's ever been.
I don't know in the sense of an actual new cult. Because of the internet has changed a lot of that, where there's so much information out there about how they're bullshit.
True.
That may change it, but I think almost the political parties have become similar.
Well,
because you can't even have a conversation anymore.
No, these Antifa type things are kind of cultish.
They are. Exactly what I'm saying.
And there's
about
the young people that are scary.
There's young people that are told one thing, that the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and they don't see it, but they just believe it because somebody said so that's important. And you can't talk about any other option. You can't have a different thought. So we're going to claim to be anti-fascist, but we're going to do very fascist things to make sure you can't have an idea.
Yeah,
and you
punch
can't.
You right
definitely
in the face.
And you definitely can't speak that idea.
No.
So that's exactly what that is. That is a cult.
Yeah, it feels. Yeah, it feels like it.
It's a fascist cult parading around as anti-fascist.
And they use the internet and technology.
They use the same tactics
as
brown shirts from Hitler. The black shirts from Mussolini, they use exactly the same tactics as those cults did back in the World War II.
So, I don't know. I just, I feel like I'm saying that this is as bad as it's ever been, you know what I mean? It's bad. It's bad. And I can just see how, I've been down this road a lot where I've heard it's terrible out there. It's the worst it's ever been. Multiple times, so I still have hope because I've seen that go away time and time again.
That's when I have kids.
You know, we have kids.
So you do worry about that, obviously, with having kids and what their life's going to be like. And but that's part of what they do, though. They prey on that.
Yep.
You know, that fear of, what the world's going to, what's going to happen in the next 4 or 5 or 8 years or whatever it's going to be. Because you have kids and you don't want them going through all this shit. Look what's coming.
Yes.
I mean, it's like right now, apparently, here we go again. We only have 12 more years to live.
Oh, I know.
And this is what I'm saying about what you mentioned about the age thing. That dryer keeps squeaking, don't it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. But we lived through Y2K. We've lived through a billion of these.
The world's going to end in 10 years or 5 years and all this kind of shit. And once you get older, you're like, okay, another one, really Al Gore again, type thing. Because, I mean, you know, we were supposed to be all dead now and underwater. And when it don't happen, it's like you're crying wolf so many times.
Yeah, dude.
It's just the same thing.
I'm totally down with clean water and clean air. I'm totally
absolutely
down with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin our ozone layer no more than the next guy does. I just don't believe, and that's a whole other podcast.
No, but yeah,
I don't believe we're doomed in the next 12 years or whatever.
Yeah, that's
is.
A whole another thing that you could going into natural climate versus man made all that political stuff. But that's a whole separate thing. But yeah, I mean, it's just I'm saying that mentality.
Yep.
Is used to scare people in politics, and so it's almost cultish, like you were saying.
It is. It really is. And this, I don't know. I'm sure as soon as we get off here, I'm going to think of so many other documentaries and cults and everything.
Oh, I'm sure.
But
as always,
I recommend if you haven't watched Holy Hell, watch
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just when you watch Holy Hell, be prepared for a pretty graphic part in the end that
just
really sneaks up on you.
It gets burnt into your retina, and I'm telling you, it's graphic.
It's very graphic, and you don't expect it.
Not at all.
I'm glad
you brought that up, because I was going to warn
We're
him
saying
too.
sexual graphic. Not violence, but it is kind of violent in a way. But anyway, it's not... And again, it's one of those things that just like, because all of a sudden they drop that bomb on you that you've been thinking the whole time.
Yes.
And then they show it and they prove who he is and used to be. So that's,
trust me when I tell you, to shock me that bad, it's graphic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is.
But
there's a lot. And I really enjoy what I was going to say earlier is I really enjoy watching, damn it, right at the end,
Camden practicing her fiddle.
Jesus. Devil came down to Michigan. I'm sorry. Georgia. I was saying the rap version. That's the rap version. Devil came down to Michigan is the rap version. Sorry. Devil came down to Georgia. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. I like seeing the interviews and stuff with people who are now out of cults.
I do too.
Like we were talking about Leah, was it? I forgot her
Remedy.
Last. Remedy, yes.
Remedy, I believe.
Remedy. Her and several other members, because she started this whole anti-Scientology thing, so you see a lot of those former members. But out of cults in general, and then you saw, like, on this documentary, how the people that made it and were involved in it, you what they went through and their mindset now. And so you get a little bit of insight to how they fell for it in the first place. And it doesn't completely
Yeah, because
answer.
They shot a lot of footage back in the day, because that's what that guy did,
yeah,
like you said.
One of the guys was the official cinematographer of everything.
And so you get to see these people as young people in plenty of footage, of footage, and then now.
And then now when they're older and, they can think back with a clear head about it and go, what the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, because some of it looked pretty cool.
Like, sure.
When they're skinny dipping and, these cool little ponds and waterfalls, I'm like, hell yeah, I can see me 1920 jumping right in the middle of that. But I ain't drying his back.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm not putting his makeup on.
I'm filing his toenails.
Because the dude wore eyeliner and shit.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't, people filed his toenails.
That's
you
crazy,
ain't catch me
man.
Near somebody's damn feet in a million years.
Yeah, it's like you grow up seeing the king.
I mean, I'll throw you a towel. I'll throw you a damn towel, but I'm not going to fucking dry you
right.
off, motherfucker.
And I'll do my laundry chores and shit, but I'm not. Stay over there.
Exactly.
You grow up and you see all the cartoons or whatever of a king getting fanned with like a big leaf.
Yeah, the big palm leaf thing.
Eating grapes. They're dangling down a bunch of grapes.
Yes.
This guy had it like that.
He really did. They put his makeup on. They did his feet for him, gave him manis and pedis.
Oh, yeah.
They got his hair did. I mean, they did all that shit for him. Literally blow dried his hair and shit.
And he was like a dancer. Like a
ballet dancer.
So they would write plays.
They had dancing classes,
and
did their own plays just for the community.
So he could be a star.
And he was always a star.
When it would show them watching the play back, I mean, his eyes, he looked mad. He was so excited to see himself as the star on the screen and stuff. You know, he's really,
yeah,
really
and what that ended up being, and that kind of gives you this, some insight into what they're thinking, is when you find out what he used to do, he never got to that next level, and he lived that out through them.
You're right, dude. You're exactly right.
So that's part of that. It's almost like the stereotypical dad living out the dreams of sports through his son.
It's very similar
and,
to that.
You know, and so that's what he was doing there for sure. Because he held these mandatory dance classes, and then he would get mad when people couldn't do it right.
Yeah, man. Like, he was critical.
Overly critical.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, come on, man, you can do better. Try harder. But no, he would get downright pissed off when you wasn't doing a fucking pirouette right or some bullshit, whatever it is.
And they shot that one music video where basically the theme of the video is, there, you know, don't fall for the seductive, attractive woman.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. While showing seductive attractive
women. While showing it like hardcore, like, I mean, she's got, you know, a dress with a slit down it and up the leg and in her cleavage out and everything.
Right, right.
And he's wanting these guys not to be attracted to her,
Of course, because he wants them for himself, apparently.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, not to harp on that one. It was just the most recent that comes to memory. And it's just kind of it's got all the threads. You know, it's got all the common themes of any cult.
It does.
But, this was cool to get into the kind of mentality and just explore that a little bit and see what people think in the comments on YouTube. You know, whether it's other documentaries or
experience, especially
if you have experience. And because again, we kind of started off saying, you know, people realize these are intelligent people for the most part. They're not all just idiots.
That's right.
And so there's something there psychologically that gets somebody involved, and I think there's a lot to it, a lot of layers, like I think we mentioned a few of those. And as far as the threads and, you know, preying on insecurity and all that kind of thing, and fear and all that stuff as well. So there's definitely something there where it's not just where you can't just you can't just label somebody and say, you know, anybody's in a cult's an idiot.
No,
it's just
not
the way. It's just not true. It's just not true.
And I can see people, especially you know, young kids who come from bad homes.
Yeah,
you know, where they weren't given love. All of a sudden, these people are hugging them all the time and loving them and telling them how special they are. I'm okay with that. I'm cool with these people, you know, getting those,
It's almost like AA.
Yeah.
You know, groups like that. Those are groups that are designed to help people overcome addiction, for example. Just using that as an example.
And let you know you're not okay being you, and you're not alone.
And you're not alone.
Yep.
Because I'll just quickly say, like, for example, anxiety. I've lived with it since I was 18, 19 years old, panic attacks, all that kind of thing. That is a huge thing to know, that you're not the only one that thinks you're going crazy.
It is.
Thinks you're dying. It's huge. So that is something that people dial in on.
I'm glad you brought this point up. Yeah.
That's something I believe that they hit hard on, as far as, you know, there's people like you over here. Just come join us and live our way and do this and that, and you'll have the time of your life. And whatever they're offering, they'll throw in there for the next life or whatever it is, you know, as far as spirituality or religion or whatever. But that's what they hit on, I think.
You just made me think of something else, and I hate that it's so late, but like street gangs.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar. You know, you got a rough home life. We love you. You're not alone. You're a good person. You know what I mean? You're worthy.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that in gangs and stuff, because I enjoy watching those type of documentaries too. You showed me a couple of things yesterday from this other one, this new one. But I have no doubt that even though, you know, they come off and do horrible things for, you know, in a lot of cases, as far as, you know, rivals with other gangs and killing each other and that kind of thing, I have no doubt there's real love between some of these people.
And sometimes it's the only love they've ever experienced.
Exactly. I have no doubt. So that's another thing. You can't just point at gang members and say they're all stupid.
Right. And pieces of crap and everything. I mean, everybody deserves to be loved.
Because half of those dudes had no fathers in the homes. And so they had a father figure they found on the street. And that's the love. And they got real love.
Real love.
Real love from some dude. But this happens to be, this is what comes with that love. This lifestyle.
being
so there's more to this. Is what I was saying, and again, we don't want to get political, because but this is what I was saying about having these conversations with people with different ideas. Why it's so important not to shut them down or just label somebody something because they don't agree with you.
That's right.
You have to have conversations with people, and that's how you solve these problems.
And what ends up happening a lot is when you have a conversation with somebody with different views, you realize there's way more similarities than there are differences.
If you actually sit down and with an open mind and talk, you'll realize that you do both care about the same things.
Yeah.
You just see different ways to get there. But today's mindset, especially like you mentioned Antifa and things like that, they don't believe in the First Amendment. They don't believe in it.
Right.
They say they do. They say they're anti-fascist. But that's just one example of a modern-day cult that's right out there in the streets that's using violence to shut down any oppositional thought. Because here's the thing. Diversity means thought, too.
It would. Yeah, that's exactly right. It'd be cool to sit down with somebody in Antifa and talk to them.
Yeah, and I've seen several videos on former members. And they tell you it's almost the same exact thing as somebody leaving Scientology. It's almost the same conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's what they were told and what they believed until they started seeing, wait a minute.
And Antifa's just a flavor of the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah. Just an example.
Just fill in the blank. But, yeah. I would love to anytime, and as this podcast grows, it would be cool to get people on here, you know, who do maybe have different views, and us, you know, have a civil discussion
if they're
capable of doing that.
And that we've talked about that before. We definitely want to start doing that. We were kind of trying to wait till we got moved and set up properly,
right?
But that was the big thing, because we want to have guests, and we definitely want to on Patreon. So we have a Patreon, but we don't have. We got to figure out that Patreon thing for the podcast, because I have the Patreon for Smokestream, the channel. But this is a separate thing, kind of sort of. So, but we will at least.
Start. I just thought that once we start doing this, I got half of Smokestream Patreon. Was that not?
I don't know about the whole. I don't know about the whole thing, because but that's what we're saying.
I'm starting a cult.
We'll figure something out, though. No, we might start a several. Either way, though, we wanted to start there.
Exactly.
And because I know patrons. I have a lot of patrons that have, you know, whether they, for example, we were talking about doing some medical stuff. We have a girl that's a doctor. So she would be the perfect guest for that
when
we cover something medical.
Love that. That would be so cool.
Yeah, so that's definitely something we're going to do. So maybe we'll just start a separate one, and just I'll say on the main one, look, if you were here for the podcast, you know, I don't think there are, but feel free to go over here and, you know, leave this one or something. So that way we can get it separated properly and all that. And anyway, but we'll definitely start having some guests on and you know, that would be great if somebody had experience in a cult.
Dang,
or whatever.
It would,
we could get insight and essentially interview somebody, you know, about whatever topic, but just using this example for what we're talking about today. If somebody was actually involved for a short period of time or a long period of time in some kind of cultish thing, whether it was a full-fledged cult or whether it was a commune-type thing that kind of started getting there to that point, because they don't...
Right.
I'm not saying that everyone starts out with, like, a devious person with a plan.
I totally agree.
I think a lot of these probably start as just a genuine, hey, let's hang out. We're
this
all similar.
Cool.
This sounds cool. And then somebody say, oh, wait a minute. I can start, you know, basically making money and, you know, offering these, you know, some service or whatever it is and take advantage of these people.
Yeah, have sex with these kids. They keep bringing all these kids with them. Look at this.
Yeah,
I need to get control of this group.
There's obviously, when it comes to cases of shit like that, there's obviously a certain type of person that becomes that cultish leader there.
And I would like to say, you know, to the listeners that this is on so many platforms, but on YouTube, you know, I can read your comments.
Yeah.
I love reading the comments. You guys bring up some things. Chris and I have watched videos based on your comments. We haven't mentioned them directly, but...
Absolutely.
Throw us any documentaries in those comments. We read those. As you can tell, Chris can hard them, you know, because he is Smokescreen, but I do read them too, and I try to put a heart in there as a comment sometimes, so you know I read them. But I love reading them, and we do get ideas from the comments, so keep dropping cool ideas.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we do read them all, and I'll try to go back and, like James just said, I'll at least try to heart them to let people know I've actually read them, whether I respond to each one or not, because I'm still responding to other videos at the same time.
Absolutely.
So it's a lot going on. But, yeah, we definitely read them. We've got a lot of ideas and good feedback, and really appreciate all the great comments we've been getting about them. People seem to enjoy this type of thing, and this is my favorite by far as the this style.
Me
this,
too.
This conversational style of just sitting down and letting it go where it goes and not really having a plan other than a general, topic or whatever.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we've been wanting to record our conversations before podcasts are even a thing.
Oh yes, no doubt.
So this is like almost like something we're fulfilling something that we've talked about for years.
Yeah, this is going to be a cult. I'm starting a cult. It's called Smokescreen, by the way. So
hide your kids, hide your wives,
and what I can offer you is a pathway to God.
Oh Lord, I'm ready.
And I can also offer the basement of love. That's for the Twitch folks out there that watch me on Twitch, stream Dead by Daylight. We always call it the basement of love when there's a killer basement where we hang people. Anyway, that's a game. That's a video game. That's a video game.
Back.
Yeah, I mean, can I get somebody to shower me and bathe me, and all that with sponges and all that, bring me coffee and sun drop and tuck me in. And anyway, I'll stop there before it gets too off track. But anyway.
If the cream's on the side, I'm sending it back.
Right. Let us know what you think in the comments on YouTube, and you can leave comments on any other platform too. I do see those. I don't have time necessarily to check them all, but I do, or as far as respond to them all, but I do read them, because it'll pop up and say, on Podbean you have new followers or a comment here or somebody liked your track on SoundCloud.
Oh yeah, sweet.
So leave comments on other ones. So, but YouTube's just the easiest place if you don't mind going there and subscribing. And then leave us comments there. That's where we both can read them and access them at all times and respond.
Heck,
and
yeah.
Get ideas and all that good stuff. And also feel free to keep leaving questions for future Ask Us Anything type things. We can go back and pull from all those.
Absolutely. I keep looking for those too.
Yeah, once we get 5 or 10, we can do another one of those as well. And also we have, we just talked about this last night, we could... maybe this week or something. I mean, we'll see what we got going on Tuesday when we record. But we have a podcast in the bag where we had the ghost stories.
Yes.
Where we
yes.
had started.
We've got that recorded.
I can take that down and re-up it here. The audio might be not as crisp and clear, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because people will ask about ghost stories and James's ghost story, and he tells the whole thing on there.
Yes, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
So we can kind of republish that under here, under this umbrella, so to speak.
Yes,
so.
I may be out of state Tuesday. So
that'll give us one on deck then. That'll give us one on deck because we got ProtoCon this weekend.
Yes, we do.
In 3 days,
and
we get to hang out with a lot of cool people that joined our live streams the last few years and came up with this idea and started calling it ProtoCon, and we made it happen. So
so excited.
It's coming 3 days from now. So if anybody's still interested in that, by the way, there's links in every video description, any video on YouTube.
Yes, welcome.
You can join us here locally for the weekend.
If you want to be on the first level of this cult, you'll be here. you'll be here Friday.
And it costs a little bit of money, just a little bit, but it's an investment
it's
in
so
your future.
Enlightening. Trust me.
Yes, you will be enlightened, and it's you get to level 2 with just only $99.99.
Level 3 is
and level 3 we can't talk about yet. But we'll get there, and I'll show you how in the basement of love. Anyway, all right, we're done. We'll just let this fade out.
Yes.
I think I'll add some, I think I'll come up with some intro music for us, so maybe this one we'll have it on there.
Ooh, do that.
And outro music, maybe or maybe not.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to do it either way by the next one, but maybe this one will have it. We'll see.
Awesome,
so
man.
If not, we'll let this just fade out as usual.
I'm enjoying
and,
it.
And fade to black.
Fade to black.